Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to Haunted Tales, your weekly dose of horror. We've got everything, from ghosts, cryptids, and curses, to deals with the devil, giant insects, and more. Sit back and enjoy this week's story after a little message from our friends.
Get up! The tour guide is still looking at the both of you. Reynold Tibbs grumbled, yet pushed himself off the toppled piece of wall he had been sitting on, feeling the gazes of half a dozen people now resting squarely on him. The one closest, even his blind eyes could see. A far too bright, shimmering figure with flowing hair he knew would be a deep, dark red.
"I don't know how you guys will be able to slip away if there are only 7 people around. The others seem rather bored by this tour, so I don't think the guide will ever be distracted enough to let you out of his eyes." His assistant's voice was coming clear through the earpiece, and Reynold Tibbs had to smile as he thought about what his companion for this job would do to give them a chance. Probably something quite irresponsible. But that wasn't his problem. Working with Ruby almost always had some drawbacks. Either she fucked you over, or the mission somehow did, but today, he would give her another chance. This place was strange. Different. There was something in the air. Some melody. And even Ruby was nervous. He could see as much through his blind eyes, following the shimmering, shining figure as she seemed to twist and turn around, looking for something. What really intrigued Reynold, though, was the floor they were standing on. This old, small castle wouldn't seem in any way extraordinary to most people, yet to him, it felt like they had stepped onto a giant landmine. The ground beneath should be pitch black, yet he could see something shimmering through the cracks in the slabs of stone. And it was happening everywhere here, in every room. The floor beneath them must be chock full of ghosts and spirits, Reynold thought, feeling the hairs on his arms standing up.
"And here we have another bedroom of the Count."
He heard the bored, drawling voice of the guide, who seemed completely disinterested in the old castle he was showing. Reynold smirked and heard the earpiece crackling before his assistant drowned out the noise around him.
"Count Eric Jean. Born in 1428, died officially in or around 1460. He's not really that much of a historical figure. There are hardly any mentions of him even in the mid-tier texts, besides a few footnotes. He never led an army, hardly ever even sent his troops. There were a few scandals, but even those seemingly got passed over, until he dropped off the history books around 1460. At least, that's all I could find through the normal channels." Reynold Tibbs shook his head a bit and could see the bright figure coming toward him. Judging from the way she walked and held her shoulder, he was sure she hadn't found any way downstairs either. His earpiece crackled again, and the voice of his assistant reappeared. "There are a few old diaries and unofficial records, courtesy of the woman now coming toward you. The Count wasn't some kind of monster, but according to his contemporaries, he liked to party. Really, really loved it. And not in the normal style of banquets and such, no. Hardcore drinking, orgies, brawling almost every night, if those accounts are something to be believed. He pissed off his own county by taking some of their children for entertainment. Then got into it with the church when rumors of some kind of demonic ritual being held in this castle started. Reynold smiled softly while his eyes wandered along the shimmering cracks in the stone slabs.
So, what happened in the end?
You could hear papers rustling, then his assistant sighing. Apparently, he had a crown fashioned and proclaimed himself king during his feasts, which pissed off his liege enough that he put him down. The problem is, I'm not totally sure what exactly happened next. The accounts differ. Some say he got killed outright when the actual king sent a small force to storm this castle. Others claim he was taken and put into an oubliette. At least one account claims he was simply sealed into the subterranean parts of his own castle, together with his inner circle. The group around them had started moving again, and suddenly he could feel the shimmering form next to him grabbing his arm, pulling him along. "We need to find a way into the basement, old-timer," Ruby whispered right into his ear. Her touch nearly made him recoil. He had agreed to this job, yes, but that didn't mean he would have to go along with everything. Pulling his arm free, he nodded, walking on his own, letting the cane in his hand scrape over the uneven floor. Judging from what he could see, the basement definitely should be the destination. The strange, malevolent energy was seeping through the cracks in the stones. He could hear footsteps on old wooden stairs leading upward, and felt Ruby grabbing his arm. This time, she was more forceful, didn't let go as he tried to pull away again and led him off to the side.
"I spiked all of their drinks. They should just make it up to the next room before dropping, so we have time now. How's it looking to you?"
Still growling softly, he eventually relented.
"Stuff is coming through the floor. It's below us," he said, and could feel the woman by his side quickening her steps, pulling him along faster.
The only problem was, he hadn't seen any way down. His assistant, watching through the camera and the dark shades he was wearing, hadn't said anything either, and the tour had already led them around the whole first floor. Ruby turned right outside the next room, making sure to pull him away from the edge of the wall as she dragged him along the hallway.
"It feels like there might be something back there," she explained, and through the now more hectic voice coming right into his ear, he growled again in affirmation. His assistant sounded agitated, but he knew Ruby well enough to trust her in this. Right now wasn't the time to fuck him over, he thought, and felt a grin creeping onto his lips. She led him from room to room. He could see the same strange, glowing, glittering cracks everywhere, at least until he heard his companion grabbing hold and ripping open a door they definitely hadn't passed through before. "There's a small room in front of you, completely empty with no windows," the voice in his ear explained, now almost out of breath. Reynold Tibbs stopped his feet and held the woman back for once. This was different. The room, the floor, was completely dark, devoid of any of that strange energy that seemed to come up everywhere else.
"It's sealed," he hissed, and felt Ruby freezing right next to him. She chuckled softly, let go of his arm and patted his shoulder.
"I knew there was a reason I brought you here, old-timer," he heard her say, then saw the glimmering figure taking three steps into the room. The sound of her footsteps stayed the same. There was no hollow noise or anything. His assistant didn't pipe up, telling him that the floor looked different. Well,
A few hundred years of undisturbed existence might do that, he thought, and suddenly saw the figure now standing in the center of the room, glowing even more brightly. Without another word, she brought up her foot, then stomped down with far too much force for a human body. Reynald Tibbs felt a shock running through the whole floor and heard the vibrations in the walls around him as something shifted in the room in front of his eyes. The glimmering figure sagged, then suddenly dropped as a thunderous rumble went through the whole castle, and he could hear a massive stone slab hitting and crushing old wooden stairs halfway down below. A wave of glimmering particles shot up from the hole like miasma, and Reynald instinctively put a hand in front of his mouth and nose to shield them from the dust. "Found it!" he heard Ruby shouting from somewhere below the floor. Yeah, she would survive, even if the whole castle crumbled around them. He wouldn't. That was one of the reasons people in his profession hated her with such a passion. In most of their eyes, she was nothing more than a cursed being, almost immortal, going into jobs with a kind of reckless abandon that put others in danger.
"Are you coming?"
Reynald Tibbs growled and heard the voice in his earpiece curse. "There's a hole now," his assistant explained. Not that he needed it. He could see the strange energy rising up in front of him, knew exactly where and how big the hole was. Only he absolutely hated it, dropping down. His old bones might give out any day now, and his joints would probably hurt for weeks. Yet, his curiosity made him take a step forward, then another, until the tips of his shoes touched the edge of the hole. There was the glowing figure, standing in a cloud of glimmering particles swirling around deep down below. Reynald put out his hand, dropped his stick right atop of her, and heard her curse as he got down on his knees, holding onto the edge while lowering his body into the hole, grinning from ear to ear. There was the beginning of static rustling in his earpiece. The blind man held onto the edge a second longer. The connection to his assistant would probably be cut down there.
"If I'm not back in 2 hours, send in Maurice. And have him kill Ruby,"
he mumbled, loud enough so that the person below would be able to hear him, before his fingers let go of the edge and he dropped into the hole. 2 hands grabbed him just as his feet touched the stone floor below, breaking his fall and relieving the shock to his knees.
"You know, you talk a big game for someone who's all alone down here with me,"
he heard the woman chuckling, then pressing his walking stick back into his hand, but Reynald couldn't give her an answer. He could see them, manifested. Humanoid forms standing along the hallway, all of them turned toward the walls. "Shit," he cursed, while softly pulling Ruby's hands off of him. The walls, the ground and ceiling were all glowing, and the human figures waiting there seemed far too defined, far too corporeal for his liking. Had they just dropped into hell? None of those things had reacted to their arrival. They were still staring at the walls, yet Reynald felt chills running up and down his spine. "What is it?" Even Ruby now sounded concerned. He didn't know how much she could see, but she had to feel it as well, that something wasn't right here.
"I see around 2 dozen fully formed spirits along the walls."
He heard her whistling sharply right next to his ear.
"They're not coming, not doing anything but staring at the walls.
If they did decide to rush them, he'd die, Ruby might make it out alive if she was fast enough. Shit. They should have taken more of a precaution. The two talismans he had with him would protect him for a short while. But having this many things around would burn them out quickly. I knew there was a reason I took you with me today. He heard her chuckling again, and this time, Reynald had to bite his tongue to keep his mouth shut. This wasn't funny anymore. They were trapped down here with a whole army of spirits. I don't see anything dangerous. Can't feel any aggression as well. Are you sure they're fully formed, and not just some echoes? Reynald slowly turned his head, looking at them one by one. Their shapes were well defined. He couldn't see any facial features or the like, but there was no doubt that all of them were different, unique. Yet, they still hadn't turned, even though Ruby's arrival should send shockwaves through whatever energy was flowing down here. You can make a connection with one of them, right? He heard her ask, feeling her hand now resting on his shoulder. Reynald was shivering. Yeah, he could, but what if it made them wake up? Intruding here seemed dangerous enough. Provoking one of these things might really spell their doom. Come on now. You touch them, I keep guard, and if they move, I'll kill them. Her voice sounded as steady, as casual as before, while she pulled him along, even though his feet still tried not to move. What could have happened here? The closer she dragged him toward the first of the things standing at the wall, the more questions popped into his mind. Why were they all staring at the walls? What was their purpose? What could even be responsible for such a thing? His hand shot out and grabbed Ruby's wrist as they were close enough to one of the figures to touch them. He could feel himself being torn in two directions at the same time. Part of him wanted to run away, get back there and fly home, while the other part needed to know what was happening here. There was a reason Ruby had come to him, had shown him this place. Something really odd was going on in here, and he wanted to know what. His hand was shaking as he raised it toward the spirit still standing motionless, with its undefined face against the wall. There would be a wave of impressions. Old emotions spilled out of the figure and into him. He would probably experience the thing's death. Reynald braced himself. He hated doing it. As interesting as these memories could be, the fear, the pain, the anguish seemed to drain the life out of him afterward. He breathed in deeply, smelled old dust and rot while his finger hovered just a tiny bit in front of the thing. "Please don't be mad," he whispered, then forced his hand forward. Ice-cold air enveloped his index finger, penetrated his skin down to his bones before it rushed upward, through his hand, wrist, arm, and into his shoulder. He felt pain and fear. His second sight disappeared for a moment, and suddenly the world took shape and form in front of him. Cloth and leather touched his skin. The smell of wine and meat filled his nostrils. Colors, vibrant, almost glowing, pierced his gaze. He could hear people singing, instruments blaring, laughter, joy, then screams of agony. People were running around the great hall, some clothed, others naked. Some laughing, others crying. A girl, hardly older than 15, was cowering in a corner. And the person he was looking out from pointed at her and laughed. They all joined in, with the loudest voices coming from the back of the room. The throne was standing there, ornate and far too big for the person sitting on it. Two guards were by his side, giant men with grim expressions even while laughing. The one atop the seat was wearing what looked like a crown, holding a chalice in one hand and a violin in the other. Their eyes met. Reynold blinked, and suddenly his body stumbled backward. His real one. The world disappeared, and he felt the cold air leaving his body.
"What was that?"
he hissed, and Ruby was suddenly by his side, propping him up before he could fall. There was a low groaning noise now filling the air.
"I'm not totally sure, but I saw a party or orgy with a few unwilling guests."
Reynold could still feel the sweat beads running down his back. He hadn't experienced death, yeah, but something had pushed him out against his will. This shouldn't be possible. The ghost's behavior was completely off. Like something was controlling them. Slowly he came to his feet, turned his head and looked at the other spirits standing at the opposite wall. They hadn't moved either. Then, what was this strange noise? Drawn out groaning.
"Everything okay, old timer?"
he heard Ruby ask and shot her a dirty look behind his blacked out glasses. No, it wasn't. There wasn't much that made sense here. His best guess right now was that there was some controlling influence bending the spirits to their will. Not a very calming thought. He shook himself, groaned, and felt a slight tingling pain in his right knee. This was getting a bit much for him at his age. But he couldn't show it. As much as he disliked Ruby, he had given his word, and he would keep it.
"We should go in,"
he whispered, feeling dread while looking at the spirits lining the walls, and could see the glimmering woman nodding next to him. The farther they got, the harder it would be to defend themselves, his subconscious warned him. It was speaking from experience. There had been a handful of times when he had gotten into bad situations, but this one here still seemed far worse. It looked like a trap. Every part of him screamed in unison. Yet, his feet moved. The cane was in his hand, and he kept pace with the woman walking next to him. At least he didn't need his stick to find his way down here. With all the energy seeping through the walls, floor, and ceiling around him, he could find a path easily.
"What do you know about the owner here?"
Reynold asked, while still walking along, still keeping his attention on the things standing at the walls. Ruby shot him a glance. He could feel it before she answered.
"A little bit.
There are strange phenomena here around this place, sightings and such. I dug up a bit of history. The guy was a lecher, according to my sources, always drunk and rowdy. Liked to party and got a bit of a sadistic streak as he got older. Then was sealed down here with a few of his subjects." Reynold chuckled humorlessly.
"A few? They are still lining the walls of this hallway, Ruby. There had to be hundreds. What kind of court did this count have?"
He walked on slowly, the blind man still keeping his attention on the things now surrounding them. Even the layout down here seemed strange, Reynold thought. Completely distorted, not in any way fitting the upper floor above. Ruby's hand grabbed his shoulder and stopped him in his tracks as they reached an intersection where four hallways met. the one they had come from, and 3 new ones. Reynald Tibbs looked around carefully. A soft breeze hit his face. The spirits lining the walls stopped right at the end of their path, leaving the 3 new ones empty.
"This looks bad,"
he whispered, and felt Ruby's hand softly squeezing his shoulder.
"It looks like the spirits are all waiting, and the only path leading back out."
New sounds reached his ear. Some scraping noise coming from all 3 paths before them. Reynald could feel himself shivering. "Normally, I would say we should choose the one in the middle, but this place feels off," he heard Ruby whisper and nodded in response. "Yeah." Something behind him moved, groaned, and Reynald whirled around to see the first of the spirits waiting by the wall, slowly turning its head. They were waking up. Shit. The other sound, the scraping one, got suddenly louder and quicker. "Run!" he heard Ruby hiss, felt a shove in his back that made him stumble toward the path on his right, and Reynald's feet immediately pushed him on. The talisman was in his hand, yet his legs moved, ran as he looked back over his shoulder. Ruby was still standing there in the intersection, but something was coming toward her from the path on her left. Something big, lumbering. He heard the sounds of chains again being dragged over the floor. This wasn't a fight he could be a part of, his instincts howled, while his feet ran on, the cane now pressed against his chest. Reynald forced himself to look ahead again. Ruby would survive. She always did. But he had to get out of here. The static in his ears seemed to ebb and flow as he ran along the path. Doors were now appearing on his left and right, the texture clearly visible through the strange energy flowing around him. "Hide!" his instinct screamed at him. More sounds were waking up all around. Naked feet on the floor, soft wailing, laughter, music. A violin somewhere deeper inside. Up ahead, he could see a door. The only one standing slightly ajar. Another chain hit the floor up ahead, scraping along it link after link. He couldn't go on, needed to get out of this hallway. Reynald turned mid-jump and felt his old joints aching as he changed direction, heading right for the door. There was laughter again, coming from the path he had taken. Ruby screamed. His shoulder hit the old wood. He felt dust raining down on him as he pushed the ancient door inward and heard the hinges creaking.
"Please, please don't let him see me,"
he begged in his thoughts and pulled the entrance shut behind him. It was darker in here for him. Less energy running through this place. He could hardly make out the small room he had entered. A giant wooden barrel was standing by the back wall, boxes after boxes at the sides. Reynald hobbled along. He needed to hide, his subconscious told him. The sound of chains was getting closer still. Ruby's scream reached him again, followed by laughter echoing around the walls. "Hide." A small voice appeared, and as he looked up, he could see someone standing there in the corner, almost covered by the boxes. Reynald's feet scraped over the cold stone floor. As he tried to stop, it slid along. The sound of chains was still coming closer. This figure in front of him continued to wave. Its form was far smaller than the one standing in the hallway. A child. Yet still, those things were unpredictable.
he cursed under his breath. The talisman in his hand would protect him, he tried to reason. Laughter was coming through the door. Chains were being dragged along.
No choice.
Reynold howled in his mind, ran towards the ghostly apparition, and dove behind the boxes, hiding it. An ice-cold hand touched his shoulder and pushed him down as the chain stopped right in front of the door.
Hide,
it whispered, groaned lowly, and suddenly Reynold Tibbs felt his body go limp. The coldness raced through his shoulder right into the heart.
He could see it. This thing. Memories. It wanted to show him.
He blinked and could see the world again. Only this time, there was no music, no laughter. Soldiers were walking behind the child while its head was pressed against the wall. The army had come, had taken them all and brought them down here. A punishment. He could see through the child's eyes as it shot glances up along the corridor. They were all made to stand there with their heads against the wall. All who had been in attendance when the last party had ended. The child's rags covered almost nothing. Torn and bloody, they hung from its body. It hadn't done anything. Had been dragged into the great hall and now down into the basement. It wanted to go home, but the soldiers wouldn't let it. They dragged something through the hallway. Big, strong chains. Bodies. It glanced back, knowing that if it was caught, it would be punished even more severely. There they were. The Count and his two guards. Chains fastened to their necks, arms, and legs as more soldiers hauled them along, dragging them deeper into these walls. The child cried. And averted its eyes as one of the big men started to whimper. There was blood in the air, mixed with the stench of wine and dust down here. They had to be punished, it heard the cleric say again. It just wanted to go home. It. A heavy hand rattled the door once more, and he could see and feel the spirit covering him shivering. Almost losing its form. He lifted a hand, touched it, felt its fear and anguish. This might be his last chance, he thought. He needed to know and felt the connection again. The child was wandering these halls. It was dark in here. Hardly any of the torches and lamps still burned. They were hungry. All of them. 3 weeks had passed since the entrance had been closed. Some had already died, and their flesh had been stripped. It didn't dare to get close to any of the adults. None of them were safe anymore. So it wandered these hallways, hiding while feeling the hunger growing day by day, hour after hour. The only space that seemed halfway safe was deep. Deep inside, where the last door was, where the soldiers had dragged the Count and his two guards. It had visited them, stayed just far enough away to not get seen, and listened. The two giants were chained to the wall right next to the door, behind which the violin was still playing. They were dying as well, hardly moved anymore. Yet the music never stopped, even though its melody got quieter and quieter. Reynold opened his eyes suddenly as a loud bang shook the whole room and the rattling of chains left them racing down the hallway. He needed to get out of here, find Ruby and leave somehow. This was far too much. He came to his knees, picked up the cane and talisman from the dusty floor, and froze once again. There were more children in here. A dozen at least. More than there should be. More than had been in this child's memories.
Oh no.
Reynolds whispered as he looked around and felt the thing that had poked him before, now with his cane. It was soft, made a strange noise as he bent down and touched it. A single rubber boot. Child-sized. Modern. They were still drawing in new victims. Catching them and dragging them inside. The last banquet had never stopped. This had to end today.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this week's story. If you did, please consider supporting us on buymeacoffee.com/hauntedtalespod. If you have anything to share with us, be it comments, story ideas you would like to hear, or just cute pictures of your pet, you can find all of our social media links in the episode descriptions. Until next time.